This is an audio description of the page works made by Brooke Stamp with Kayla Marshall and Charlotte Filipov. The work spans 3 double page spreads from page 24 to 29 in this issue. Page 24. This left hand page is dominated by a large drawing in pencil on a piece of paper digitally scanned and displayed on the page, so that it creates a large rectangular frame on the portrait-oriented page. The drawing is made up of a grid of lines that cross over in the middle, but do not quite reach the edge of the page. 2 vertical and 2 horizontal lines divide the page into 6 rectangular segments. Drawn over these 4 lines are more pencil drawings. These lines are at times scratchy, quick and gestural, dotted and dashed, curving and crossing over one another to form a hive-like cluster of continuous lines. They are distributed across the page in such a way that you can see long, continuous lines stretch the page between clusters of shorter lines concentrated around the top and left-hand thirds of the gridded page. There's text at the top of the page, in an italicized font, set in a typeface that looks classical, but which outlines the letters, rather than having each letter fully black inside. The 2 words are about 2.5 centimeters tall, and they span the width of the drawing, which takes up most of the page. The words read, "Ancient Foot," all in capitals. At the bottom of the page is much smaller text, which again spans the width of the page in a regular black serif font. It reads, "These drawings are by Kayla Marshall and were made during a collaborative weekend residency alongside Charlotte Filipov, photographs, instigated by Brooke Stamp, words and movement." Page 25. The right-hand page is again dominated by a pencil drawing on a rectangular, portrait-oriented piece of paper. But this time, the drawing is smaller and leaves room at the bottom of the page for more large, capitalized, italicized serif text. These 2 words, again, span the width of the magazine's page to read, "Discordant Symbol." Above this text, and layered over the bottom right corner of the drawing, are 2 photographs with thin black borders. A portrait-oriented photo features a female figure in a tight yellow t-shirt and blue jeans, kneeling on the floor of a wood-paneled room. Natural light spills over the figure from behind them. The figure is Brooke Stamp. The kneeling figure reaches down and out to a piece of A4 paper on the floor in front of them. Her other hand is posed to her right side, with her index, middle, and ring finger meeting her thumb against the floor, and her little finger slightly raised. She holds a careful and focused position. Overlapping the left side of this photograph is a second photo. This square image is a zoomed-in crop of the same photograph, this time focused on the figure's hands touching the paper and the floor. The figure herself is cropped out of this overlapping photo. Behind the photographs and taking up the bulk of the upper third and central portion of this page is the pencil drawing, this time featuring a more focused central cluster of lines. There's a dashed arc moving from the upper central cluster, dashing down the left part of the page, to a space, below which is written in quick handwriting and in quote marks, "Stopping myself from speaking." Below this quote, and to the right, are the photographs, and above those is another line arcing up the right side of the page. But the pencil is started elsewhere, in a rough scrawl, down to the arc, then shooting back up, across, and cutting through that right-hand arc to wiggle and fly across the page and join the cluster of lines where the left-hand arc began. There is text up here at the central top area of the drawing. It is a list, again in pencil. It reads, eyes closed. Then on a new line, turn slowly, a dash, right. Then a new line, crouch. Then a new line, cradle. Then a new line, now moving to the right a little, rise up. Then a new line and down to the right again, move mouth. Then a new line, still cascading to the right, drop head. Then a new line, heading right, floor. Pages 26 and 27. These two pages form a cohesive double page spread, with another digitally scanned drawing, filled with writing, occupying the center of the spread. It spans almost the entire double page spread, leaving a small margin of paper around the outside. In the top left corner of the left page is more large italicized hollow text reading, Mythology Walking. Below this, and layered over the drawing, is a tall black rectangular frame containing a photograph of the same figure as the previous photos. This time, the figure is cut out from their setting to appear floating above the drawing. Though wearing the same yellow shirt and blue jeans, she is in a different position, as though she has just hopped onto her right foot, her left arm floating off to the side, while her right arm scoops ahead of her. Their weight rests on their right foot. Her head is lifted high, and brown hair falls around her shoulders. Behind her are translucent copies of this cutout photo, trailing down the page to the right until they are no longer visible, and her translucent limbs extend just beyond the black frame that contains the original cutout figure. The drawing that spans the double page spread is evenly scattered with lists of phrases, words, maybe thoughts in passing, all raining down the page in rough columns, sometimes joined together by loose pencil lines. The far left column of words ends with a line curving gently over to the central area of the spread on the right-hand page, where it meets a circle containing the phrase, number two, always, dash, becoming. This circle sits askew to the right, below a central column of writing. The words I can make out read, what defines the weave of the complex cloth is that it is formed by a circular dash game on which the sentence ends mid-breath. Then moving down the column, I can read more words. Order slash disorder. Chance slash determination. Interaction slash retraction. Are conjugated in an infinite way and simultaneous. The word and before simultaneous there is written in a plus sign. This right-hand page mirrors the left-hand page, insofar as the large italicized hollow text borders the bottom of the lower right corner of this page, and another cutout figure poses within a black frame in the upper right, reversing the vertical order of title and image from the previous left-hand page in this spread. The bottom text of this right-hand page reads, drill, spectacle, all in capitals again, and is balanced by the framed figure above it. We view the figure in the same clothes, but this time from her side. Her torso cheats open towards us, while her hips and legs continue facing forward towards the rest of the spread. Her arms are out at shoulder height, with elbows bent at 90-degree angles and hands flat, facing down like blades or flippers. Maybe they are riding the breeze under these wings. Her legs are unnaturally articulated, with her right knee bent at a gentle angle in front, with foot pointed down and toes pulling back towards her knee. Her left leg stretches back, just behind her hip, to balance her weight, and it sits flat to the floor, still pointing forwards, as though slowly marching towards the previous page. Again, there are copies of this cutout figure, photograph, underlaid and translucent, cascading down and away from the original figure, with translucent fingers just breaching the borders of the black frame, heading south towards the book's spine and bottom edge. Under the second framed figure is yet more writing in pencil. This time, small paragraphs are arranged in a path, almost spiraling out from the center of the double page spread, down to the lower right-hand corner, up the right edge, and back behind our second cutout figure to join the cluster of writing in the center of the spreads. There are arrows guiding my eyes around the paragraphs from the center, around the edge, and back in. I look very closely to make out the writing. Starting in the center, I can read, bracket can be, close bracket, traversed by taking a different route each time. Here the word route is crossed out, then rewritten. Then an arrow leads me to, those who travel in it, then must learn to correct constantly the image they have of whether it be a concrete, bracket, local, close bracket, image of one of its reactions, or the hypothetical regulatory image concerning its global structure. Another arrow leads me to, a network is a tree, with the words non and tree sitting both above and below the following word, which is hierarchical. It continues in brackets, infinite number of corridors that connect its nodes. Another arrow leads me to rhizome, which is underlined twice. Then metaphor for network model. Another arrow leads me to taken to pieces and inverted. Another arrow leads me to text, which is obscured behind the figure. Then another arrow leads me to, within the rhizome, thinking means feeling one's way by conjecture. Another arrow leads me to a supposedly closed catalog. This is the double page spread with its corners pinned by the big words, mythology walking on the top left corner, and drill spectacle on the bottom right. Page 28. In the same tall, italicized, and capitalized hollow font, two words spanning the top of this page read, Pedagogue Parade. Below this centered text, but skewed to the right of center, are three screenshots from a video, stacked on top of one another to form a column. In these three screenshots are three recurring figures, in simple linen shirts and pants, in the throes of various movements, with arms outstretched in synchronized leaping, then below with bent knees, and another figure mid-leap. Then the bottom shot pictures the figures all in a moment of swift turning or descending from a jump, as their hair flies high, arms are thrown above their heads, and their loose pants billow and fold. There is a caption or footer in small black text below these images, which reads, Trisha Brown, set and reset, in italics. 1983, New York. Behind these images and text is another pencil drawing composed entirely of words in columns that run from right to left, as though the left edge of this page was the bottom of their original page. The text flows behind the screenshots, but I can read tiptoeing, cutting, collage, shaking hand, then in brackets, shaking hands simultaneously. Upright, hair behind ear, and in a second column, lower on the page for us, a word is cut off in the spine of the book, then I can read from right to left. Speaking, ideas, discipline. Here, discipline is partly obscured by the screenshot, with a bracket around ideas and discipline. This bracket points to more words. They look like mon and lang. I may be misreading that. Then I can read staircase, timed, go up and down, plus loop, bracket of choreographed, and the words fall off the edge of the page. This scanned drawing fills the entire page with no space around it. Page 29. In the final right-hand page, a large black border runs around the outside of the page, leaving a margin of paper around 3 centimeters from the paper's edge. At the base of this page is the final phrase in large italicized and capitalized hollow font. The border cuts right through the length of the 2 words, which read, contiguous duel. Within the black border are 7 rows of small square photographs. These rows are 5 images across. It reminds me of a contact sheet for a photographer's negatives. In the top row of photographs, the same figure from earlier is pictured. It is Brooke. This time, they wear white Reebok sneakers and a thin padded black vest over a long-sleeved black shirt. We see them in front of a wood-paneled wall with high windows above. Her right leg and foot gently stretch out towards us, though her limbs are not tense. She is balanced on her back foot, her left hand raised softly in the air above her head. In the second image moving to the right, her head drops to the side a little, but her pose stays composed. Moving my eyes to the next image to the right, her front foot pivots towards us. An outstretched hand flattens towards us as well. Then we see her pull her front foot back and raise her torso, left hand raising further up behind her. In the final image, the feet almost meet at a right angle at the heel as she is almost upright. Her front hand now on our right as she pivots her torso to her left. The raised back hand is cropped out of the photo's edge. In the second row, we are zoomed out somewhat and see white painted wooden windows above the wood paneling. The windows stretch into the top edge of the cropped picture, and a figure crouches over a dinner table-sized piece of paper that is covered in marks, lines, and post-it notes. Behind them is a laptop sitting on top of a speaker on the floor against the back wall, and in the foreground of the photograph, Brooke stands in Long John style, black tight pants and long-sleeved shirt, with a pink sweater tied around her waist. They face us, but with her right knee buckling inwards, their shoe pivoting on its toe, right hand resting on that inward sloping thigh, and left hand, palm forward and moving across her body to her right side in the direction of the crouched figure behind her. In the following images, as we scan to the right, the figure keeps her composure, only adjusting slightly. Then the final 2 frames show her twisted to her right, left leg in front of her right, and hands scooping and slicing in front of her body towards us. The set ends with the figure on a flat right foot holding her weight, and softly pointed left toe ahead of her. In the third row, the figure is in their yellow shirt and blue jeans again. We can see the wood-paneled wall and gray light and treetops without leaves through the large windows. The figure stands on her left foot in the first image, justified to the left side against that black border. Her straight arms are stretched up and out away from her shoulders. Her left arm is at a straight diagonal, and her right is parallel to the floor. In the next image, heading right, her left knee and hip crumple inwards. The arms stay out. The next image sees her left leg step back, with her foot resting on its front pad, angled inward. The next frame sees her left hip poking out with the back leg, which has now rested flat on the floor. The arms are still outstretched. The final image in this row shows the same pose with her right arm having moved from parallel to the floor to drop down from the shoulder and then bent out so her forearm is parallel to the floor, palm flat and facing us. In the fourth row of square photos, the figure is kneeling in the same room, but back in their black padded vest, blue jeans, and sneakers. They are kneeling on their right knee, closest to us, with their ankle and foot bent to keep their toes touching the floor rather than resting the top of their foot on the floor's surface. Over the five images moving left to right, we see her rotate, flexing at the hip, bending forward, then towards us, hair flying and falling, then back, so that the final image sees her up on her haunches, arching her back over behind where her feet grip the ground. Outstretched arms rebalancing her with soft elbows and upward cupping hands by her hips. In the next row, she is back in the tight black pants and shirt with pink sweater around her waist. She is in a corner. The first image sees her lunging forward, her head flying down to almost meet her toes, and her knees bend out at 90 degrees. The series of photos progressing to the right picture, to the right, picture her raising back up, hair flying, with knees bent as they reach a composed, straight-legged posture, back upright, with feet again angled at 90 degrees, and her arms softly rising out at an angle to her right and left, respectively, ahead of her. The final frame shows her in this pose, but she has raised herself up onto her toes, not quite her tippy toes. In the second to last row of square photos, the same figure rests on their knees, with the tops of their feet to the floor, slumped somewhat in her black padded vest, sneakers, and blue jean outfit, and their arms are raised just above the top of their thighs in soft, natural positions, but clearly in movement. The next frame pictures her slumping further over her left knee. It is the knee nearest us. She slumps further and comes to rest in the final two images, with her head to the floor and arms cradling her fallen head. Then with hair spread across the white linoleum floor, her arms are pulled out to right angles, but still with soft, resting hands on either side of her head. The final row sees the figure bending forward, with knees wide out, and a splayed, dramatic hand in front of her lowered head as if she was bowing. They wear the tight black pants and shirt, pink sweater around their waist, and white sneakers. Over the course of the five square images, moving from left to right, she first dips deeper into her bow, then rises up, leading with her outstretched hand, as though summoning something she would see when she finally stands upright with her head raised. The final frame in this row shows the figure before she gets to that upright point, her body still leaning forward over outwardly angled, slightly bent knees, and her hand more soft now in front of her head, hair still hanging, concealing her face. There is a gap of blank page before we get to the capitalized hollow text at the base of this page. It reads, "Contiguous, dual."